Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Yay-haw.
So, you know how the Raw after WrestleMania is a big, exciting deal? And it's been that way for like 2 years, isn't it? It's not like a long-standing tradition.
Right. It's just kind of like a more fairly recent
trend. Right, right. And we kind of accredit it to, like, oh, all the people who paid all that money to go to WrestleMania also have those Raw tickets.
So there's like this whole, like, people are still energetic from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they always talk about the international crowd who tends to be raucous and fun, and it's also a smart crowd. So
yeah. This year's wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, and it's never been like that one after I think 29.
Yeah. Like honestly, it seems like every crowd since then has been trying
to be that
a
crowd.
A little too hard to be that crowd.
Well, I might say
sometimes
that the Raw after WrestleMania 29 might have been better than WrestleMania 29.
No, absolutely. And that's what made that night so great, is because we're just coming off of an okay WrestleMania, and then you had a Raw the next day that was one of the better Raws, and then when you had like matches that no one really cared about, the crowd kind of took over for that match. And for, like, a few moments beyond that.
But here's the thing. You know what? This past Raw at where were they? England?
Yes.
At England? That about did everything that I wanted the Raw after WrestleMania to do.
Okay.
Like, first of all, it had the noisy crowd. It had the crowd that we're only going to get to see Raw once this year, you know?
It's an international crowd, and it's kind of this is kind of like their once or twice a year Raws.
Yeah.
So, those type, like, when they're only going to those places, you know, for your country once or twice a year, you get the smart crowd, the people that really want to be there.
Right, right.
You know, not so much the people that are, oh, right, that's in town, hey, let's take the kids to it, it'll be fun, or whatever.
Right.
You know?
But so the crowd, pretty nice.
Yeah.
And so, there obviously wasn't going to be anything, you know, because it was on a delay.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't going to do any shocking
storyline wise, which is fine, because that usually means that those Raws tend to be more focused on the matches.
Right, right. But
everyone's complaining that there's not enough wrestling in a wrestling show.
Well, the thing is, like, so yeah, I knew that wasn't going to happen, but like, the Naomi did a heel turn.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting heel turn, all things considered.
Yeah.
Fandango's music came back.
Fandango, I'm guessing he's a face now?
I don't know, but in all honesty, that was like the exact direct, like, pandering that won't affect anything.
It's like, this is the crowd that'll do the fandangoing. Let's do the fandangoing and bring that back.
But, like, I don't know.
For a guy who literally hasn't been on Raw in, I don't know how long.
It's stuff like that where, like, I feel like every now and then there's, like, a Raw where they just kind of give up and just, like, lean into the crowd.
And
the crowd, and if it's the right crowd, the crowd eats it up.
Mm.
Well, like, the fact that Wade Barrett was the person to answer the open challenge.
Right.
And I'm like, of course they were going to have a Wade Barrett match.
Right.
You know, but because they had him going up against Cena, it really seemed to just be like, yeah, you're going to boo Cena and you're going to cheer this heel.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about it. So for this one match,
here's
face Wade Barrett and heel John Cena.
Yeah.
Like, that's about the closest we've gotten to an actual WWE stamp-approved heel John Cena.
True, but then again, John does go to the cheap route and be like, hey, let's get a WrestleMania at London. Oh, they won't want me to say this, but I'll say it. Come on.
Yeah, but they didn't fall for it. They still said
no, did you hear
that? Well, of course they cheer for that. They're going to cheer for that one sentence, and they're not going to be like, I'm going to reconsider this Cena fella. He seems to have some good ideas. Let's all be quiet and listen to what he has to say. No, they'll cheer because they want WrestleMania at London.
Yeah, because he's going for the cheap pop, so he's going to do that so he can say, oh, I'm getting cheered like a good guy again.
No, he's going to say that, and he's going to do that, but he played a heel in that match.
I don't know. Like, it really looked like a regular John Cena match.
No, it did not look like a regular John Cena match.
Okay.
Wade Barrett came out and did not try to get the hometown boos. Because when a face comes out in his hometown, He's supposed to cut a "I'm glad I left this sinkhole place" kind of promo, yeah. And he didn't.
Well, yeah, but I don't really remember anybody doing that lately. Like, people that are trashing their hometown just to get a bad guy pop.
A heel boo?
I don't remember people doing that lately, like, in a while.
Yeah, people do that pretty regularly.
Okay, people like Miz do.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland. I can't blame the guy.
I mean, Miz, CM Punk did it all the time.
Trash on Chicago?
Yeah.
When?
When they didn't care and cheered anyway.
I don't remember that. Because I remember the only time he was ever able to get boos from Chicago was when he said he wasn't wrestling that night.
Yeah, but he also said bad things about Chicago before then. Lots of like lazy stuff. And the Chicago match, not the Money in the Bank, because there were don't even try for the Money in the Bank one.
No.
But the time they were in Chicago previously, he did like a Punk sits crisscross applesauce in the middle of the ring and just trashed on Chicago for a while.
I'm gonna need to see video
proof. And it did nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, when your baseball team's been losing for an entire 100 years and then some, you kind of learn just to take the crap, you know? And just, sure, he's a jerk, but he's our jerk kind of thing.
Like, that's the thing. Know? Is like, he is
we're definitely used to getting beat down, essentially.
Yeah. So, I thought it was good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Kane having to think about it.
Right, and still, like, acted on it to where, like, oh, he's turning a face now. He's going to come back with a mask. And then he lets Seth cover him. He's like, oh, you, okay.
Right. Like,
that was an interesting way to go about it.
But, like, I saw it, and, like, as long as they, like, you know, continue with that thread, as long as they, like, I don't really care how they continue with it, because there's not a whole lot that I'm like, I really need to see Kane in this match before he retires. Because I've seen Kane in literally every match ever.
Yeah, and I feel like we can honestly add something to our, hey, this still is open-ended, what was going to go on with that? And that is, why was Brad Maddox on Raw last week? For, like, a second.
I don't know, but I want it.
Like, add that to everything else. What was Triple H going to say to Shawn when he was retiring, blah, blah, blah. I think that's the only one that's still left open.
Why was, what's his name, standing in the background a couple
of
times?
Oh, why was,
I mean, nothing is as bad as why was Shawn Michaels, what was Triple H going to say to Shawn Michaels? Right. That's the ultimate, that's the holy grail of unanswered wrestling questions for me. But,
alright, remind me sometime tomorrow during the day that I need to ask Triple H on Twitter, because you keep forgetting we have a machine to do this.
To directly communicate with Triple H.
Right, and be like, hey, yo. Well, what were you going to say to Sean before on his retirement night?
Before Sheamus attacked you.
Before Sheamus attacked you. P.S. You're the best.
Hashtag undying love confession? ?
Fair enough.
I mean, right now, I'm just holding out hope that they didn't want to pay for Brad Maddox's plane ticket. And they'll continue, like, that Braddock storyline next time on Raw.
Yeah, because you do hear stories of, like, all right, they're only going to take, like, a certain number of guys and girls to, you know, their overseas tours, or this group of people is going to go to this tour, this group of people is going to stay and tour the U.S. or something like that.
Yeah.
That might be the case. But usually for the U.K., they take everybody, usually. And then they'll still travel separately. Speaking of the UK tour, I just heard rumors that they took Daniel Bryan off because of possible injury, and he hasn't really been working one-on-one matches, or even when matches he was involved, he didn't really work much or take a whole lot of bumps in.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's part of me where it's like, it makes me nervous that maybe, you know, he's not as healed as he thought he was.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or whatever. And also on the same, like, I don't want him to, like, overdo it, you know.
If
he needs to retire, by all means go the edge route. go with your health and happiness.
If he needs to retire, I mean, okay, I feel fairly strongly if Daniel Bryan had to announce retirement tomorrow, he's going in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I mean, they would do it. They would do it while he's still, while they could still get a good pop out of it.
I mean,
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not going to say he'll go in the Hall of Fame next year. But, I mean, first of all, like look what their standards are for the Hall of Fame. Like, it's not that hard to get into the WWE Hall of Fame. They induct, like, 6 people a year.
No, you're right. No, absolutely.
So, I think Daniel Bryan's secured in the Hall of Fame at this point, barring, you know, something happening.
Right.
But I feel like they had to think Daniel Bryan was good to go, because they had to anticipate some negative.
Oh yeah,
Bryan, I mean, some level of
right.
I mean, I think they got more than they expected, but this Bryan's back, but not going for the championship.
Yeah,
Roman is backlash. I think they expected some of that. So if like there was some like, well, Bryan might make it back kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, okay. So here's the thing: How do you think fan reaction to the original Roman versus Brock thing would have been had Daniel Bryan never even been in the picture? They just have a video update sometime in December. Daniel Bryan would be like, "Yep, hope to see you guys at SummerSlam."
Right. Like, we knew that there was no chance that Daniel Bryan would have been in the WrestleMania 31 picture.
Right.
I don't know. I would like to think it was probably wouldn't be as visceral against Roman. Like, it wouldn't have been as violent of a negative reaction towards him.
Yeah.
I still think there'll still going to be some backlash. That, and, you know, it's the wrestling world, you know, like, even a year later, there was still, like, one tiny thought in the back of your head is like, hey, CM Punk, mm-hmm. surprise entrance in the Royal Rumble, you know? Yep. Like, even, they could tell, like, oh, yeah, no, Dan Bryan's injured, there's no way, we are specifically telling you he's gone for at least another year or so.
Yeah.
Still in the back of your head is like, no, I think it's Swervis.
I mean, here's the thing.
And when 30 happens, when the number 30 happens and it's not him, they'll probably a little bit of a boo.
But here's the thing. I don't think so, because I don't think it would be boo. I think it would be awe.
Right.
I mean, there's a big difference, because, like, if they're like, it's because of injury, we'll obviously know, like, it's not because he's going to do it. And then we're like, oh, it's because of injury.
Yeah.
So it's
honestly, like, if they wouldn't have reacted as strongly as they did whenever Daniel Bryan was there and was eliminated for no good reason and kind of cheaply.
Yeah.
I feel like everything would have
ruined the rest of the Rumble.
Right.
We would have enjoyed it up until the 30. Not, we wouldn't have stopped enjoying it at about 10.
Yeah. I still don't think they would have had the reaction that WWE would have wanted.
No, I don't think so.
But
either.
I don't think it would have been as bad.
Yeah.
Or it could have been. I don't know. I mean, people, like, even when Daniel Bryan was still out of the picture and Roman was back, people were still, you know, not too much into Roman, and they were the stain was starting to grow.
Yeah.
Then.
I mean, it's one of those we'll never know kind of things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is there anything else you really need to hit on Raw?
Not that I can really think of.
Honestly, I just thought it was like a really good, solid, entertaining show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I enjoyed just about every bit of it. I enjoyed the crowd. I enjoyed the goofy pandering.
Right.
I'm enjoying Primetime Players right now, out of all people.
I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying New Day.
Yeah. Like,
just,
alright.
Everything that they do is just interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not like, like, how are they going to react now? Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I do want to say, what's a Russian chain match?
Right, like, what's so Russian about that chain? And also, Rusev still isn't Russian, you guys. A Bulgarian chain match might have made a little bit more sense. But still, that's still a dumb idea.
I mean,
Are they just going to whack each other in the head with it? Or
I mean, it's,
is it going to be like a...
My understanding is it's a regular match where chains are legal. It's a chair match, but with chains.
You're great. Yeah, okay. Okay. I will take your example and raise you, like, three levels higher. It's like a stairs match, Joel, but with a Russian chain.
Okay, my concern was, when they first announced it, that it was a strap match, but with a chain. To show
at that point, I was like, alright, Extreme Rules. That's a little rough, but
to show you how hardcore they were, not just an ordinary strap, a definite chain was
going to be. I was thinking that, or maybe, I can't think of what, I think it was a Texas Bull Rope match, I think, or something, where, like, they're literally, like attached to, like, a rope by each other, and there's, like, a cowbell or something, I don't know. I know Dusty Rhodes were in a few of them.
They still had to do the four corners?
I don't know.
Or did they actually?
I don't know. I just remember a rope and a cowbell.
All right. And so, what was the other one? Oh, no RKO.
No RKO in a cage match.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Well, okay. So here's several things.
Okay.
Is the cage match is no DQ, right? Like, that's an added little stipulation on cage match.
Right. Like, the only rules that matter is they're, you know, win by pinfall, submission, or escaping cage.
Or escaping the cage.
Yeah.
So if there's no DQ, and he hits an RKO...
I guess that is the only DQ. Match can end by pinfall, submission, RKO, or escape.
I mean, we have video... evidence of Randy Orton being the only one to remember that a match was no DQ before.
Wait, when did that happen?
Somebody else ring the bell during a DQ match, a no DQ match. And Randy was like, there's no bell to ring. It's no DQ.
Don't remember that.
God, that's one of my favorites.
Okay. That's one step beyond that one time where Cameron... tried to get the
counter ref
when the person was on their stomach.
Yeah. Well, first of all, like, Seth made his stipulation first. So Randy could have been like, my stipulation is the RKO is allowed.
Right. I had that thought for like a very brief moment. Also, why did he have a lazy boy in the ring? Like, I like the visual when he just came back and he did his dumb laugh. That
I don't know. It was like Miz, like a half Miz TV kind of thing.
Right.
Like Seth is getting his own.
But finally someone used that furniture because it's always backdrop and nobody sits in it.
I guess they realize if they're lugging this furniture all the way, somebody's gonna sit in that chair, by golly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was more of a laid back scenario. It wasn't a contract signing situation. Yeah, so,
just an
know.
Announcement. So
yeah. And how rude did they not have a chair for Randy? Staying in their pantsless like always.
Classic authority move.
It's a power move. JJ Security got like their own chairs. Yeah. He's sitting there in his lazy boy. Randy Orton's just standing
no
there.
No chair for
like
Randy.
A jerk.
Looking awkward.
Right.
Power move. Classic business tactics 101.
And it's you can't RKO somebody if they're laying out on a lazy boy. But I will say this, of all people, Randy Orton would figure out a way how to do that.
I no longer question Randy Orton's ability to RKO somebody out of nowhere.
I realized that halfway through that statement. I was like, no, you sound like a jerk right now, Chris. You're just a complete jerk.
Here's the other question we really need to ask ourselves. Is Randy Orton allowed to do the diamond cutter?
You jerk. Oh, Joel, sometimes I love you, buddy.
I feel like you should be. I think you should do it. Like, that's a diamond cutter, ref. Let's go.
But if he kicks him in the gut first, it's a stunner.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, like...
Or is it just a regular neck breaker? You know, whatever.
So, I think I just want him to do it to the ref and be like, no, all right, I'll let that allow that.
Randy Orton pulls out of his shorts like a chart graph of like, this is why it's not an RKO.
Pulls him out of full wear. The man wears tiny, tiny trunks.
That's why it's so impressive.
There's nowhere on Randy's body to hide charts. He'll have to get him freshly tattooed.
Not with that attitude, he won't.
Alright, so
you can tell we're scraping at the bottom for content.
The right time now. Has come. No, the time has come now.
Okay.
So,
you mean the time has been 2 weeks ago?
Yes, the time. But do you have your list?
I sent them to you.
Oh, I don't have it. Okay.
Good thing I sent them to you on Facebook.
I didn't keep your list. What we're talking about, as always, if you don't know, every year between WrestleMania and the Raw falling in those 24 hours. We make predictions for the matches that for the lineup, the card of the next WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So we a few weeks ago made predictions for WrestleMania 32. We've been doing this. I've been doing this for several years, and we started on the podcast 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever been right. It is not an actual prediction contest. It's mostly just kind of a barometer to like. Watch how much WWE changes over the course of the year.
Right.
Because we're gonna read out, before we do this year's predictions, we're going to read out last year's predictions just to see how shockingly off we were.
Right.
Just to see what seemed... I mean, because those things, like, everything... I might have one or two crazy ones, but, like, everything seems feasible at this moment. And so everything on my list from last year seemed feasible at the time. It just... It looks dumb now as I look at what I wrote down.
Right. Alright, so go ahead and let's go through yours. All right, from last year.
Alright, from last year, I predicted that WrestleMania 31, I predicted Taker and Sting.
Yeah.
Which I thought was reasonable.
Right, I'd probably put that on there too.
I think you did. You picked Taker and Sting as well.
Okay.
I picked Taker and Sting, Sin Cara and Rey in a mask versus mask match. I predicted that before. I did not predict that this year.
Fair enough.
Last year,
good, because... You know, Rey Mysterio's not in the company anymore.
I know. Well, that was the thing. I remember last year, I was like, I'm doing this one more time, and then never again. This is
kind of like it was Goldust versus Cody.
Yeah. I don't know if that's on here. But yeah, I was like, one more time, Sin Cara versus Rey, mask versus mask, because I predicted it maybe three times before, and like, not it. So, I predicted Bryan versus CM Punk would come back as the champion.
That was a dumb pick even for last year.
I don't think so. We did not know the extent of CM Punk's.
You're right.
You go back to WrestleMania.
He'd only been gone for like 30. 3 months at that point.
Yeah, he'd been gone for a while. And we knew he was tired and wanted a break.
Mm-hmm.
And we also knew that CM Punk doesn't like sitting around and doing nothing.
Right.
So you could sit there.
It turns out he's not sitting around doing nothing.
No.
He's just not doing the thing that we wanted him to do.
We now know more, but at the time, you're like, that's all you knew. And you're like, no, he'll come back.
Okay.
I can't imagine him being gone for a year. So I had Ziggler versus Triple H.
All right.
All right.
Stab in the dark, worth it. Because you knew Triple H was going to be...
I knew Triple H would be on there, and I knew, I feel like Ziggler was climbing up the ladder, and I feel like he's continually...
Oh, he climbed up a ladder.
He's like on the same three rungs, and then like on
And then
repeat.
He gets headbutted down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, Paige versus AJ.
That's... All right. Not too far off.
No, very reasonable, very reasonable. Brock and Rock.
So. Also feasible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'll say, like, barring some sort of, like, CM Punk situation, I'm going to predict Brock and Rock every year till it happens.
Right, because you feel like it probably will.
I feel like that's, like, the biggest match they have left, the biggest marquee match they have left
right
now is Brock
versus
Rock.
Especially if they're trying to, you know, break that attendance record next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so... And
that's how you do it.
So you do Brock and Rock, especially with Brock re-signing for all the times. Like, it's... So I'll go and say I predicted it this year again, too. Like
I didn't, but yeah.
I was like,
maybe I should have.
I'm going to be stubborn. And I'm like, until one of them physically can't wrestle, Brock and Rock, let's go. I got Bray versus Bo Dallas.
All right.
Bo Dallas was a lot hotter this time last year. He was on screen more.
I was about to say hotter?
He was on screen more. He was starting to get this kind of, you know... reaction, at least. It was a, you know, a boo, but he was supposed to be getting booed, and so, like, people were starting to enjoy this heel character. I was like, it's very possible
that Bray's going to turn into this weird Stone Cold Undertaker anti-hero face over the course of the year.
Right.
You can throw in some brother versus brother sprinkling. Turns out they just kind of did nothing with Bray Wyatt.
And even less with Bo Dallas.
And even less with Bo Dallas.
Right.
So, I had Cena versus Sheamus, and that was literally just to
put them on the card.
I know Cena's going to be on the card somewhere.
Right.
And then I had Shield versus Evolution, which I was right about. I was just 11 months off.
So Shield was going to go up against Evolution
at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania, but Triple H was going to face Ziggler?
Yeah, I had a whole thing.
Obviously.
I remember talking about it last year. There was a whole, like, because I was like, all right, so Triple H is going to move into the Ric Flair role, and then another, there's going to be another up-and-comer character into Evolution. And so this Evolution triple threat will be going up against the Shield kind of thing. And I was like, you know, Batista will go away and do Guardians, and then Batista will be able to come back and do Evolution in time for WrestleMania.
Right.
And I was right. I was just, they went ahead and did it right away. And it was really good.
It was. I enjoyed the crap out of it.
I'm glad they listened to me. I also had Wade Barrett winning a ladder match.
Okay.
So I did predict there would be a ladder match.
And Wade Barrett was in it.
Not the winner, but I couldn't have Brian win.
Well, yeah, we're not picking winners. We're picking, you know.
Yeah.
So count that as like a half point, but even though half points don't count.
No, because we do, we talked about it last year. We if you're predicting a multi,
you have to get everybody right.
No, you have to get the winner right.
Oh, okay.
So if you're predicting there's going to be a ladder match, especially with the armbar being a thing now,
right?
You have to predict the correct winner, because you can't feasibly be like, oh, here is, I'm going to correctly predict the 30 people that are in the armbar next year.
Right.
So you
you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to predict the armbar is going to happen. That's an easy win. Yeah. All right.
So you got to predict the winner on the... All
right. I feel like we're going to go over this rule again next year.
Of course.
At that point, I'm going to forget. Because so, I probably forgot I was talking about last year.
It's like, if there's 7 or more people in the match, I feel like you just have to predict the winner.
What if there's 5?
No. Do you have a person with 5?
Not specifically.
All right. Do you want to know who you picked?
Who did I pick?
All right.
How dumb does it sound?
You also picked Taker versus Sting.
Yep.
You also picked Paige versus AJ.
Yep. Those are all solid choices, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You have Punk on your card as well.
Probably, yeah, you're right, yeah. Punk. Probably just a cover just in case.
Yeah, Punk versus Austin.
That was another one where it's like, you know what? It's going to happen one of these years, guys, and I'm just going to put it on there until I just can't anymore.
Yep.
I did not put that on there for WrestleMania 32.
Oh, no?
Yeah, I'm breaking the trend.
All right. You had Cena versus Triple H.
Not outside the realm of possibility. Both guys got to be on the card. Take it up.
Yep.
Really,
you had Brian versus Rock, though. That's interesting. Care to explain?
Brian was just kind of just shoot to the moon, man. Mm-hmm. He was just going to stay on top and not ever be hurt ever.
Yeah.
It was a simpler time. It was a hopeful time.
You had Orton winning the armbar.
Okay.
So, you'd had Neville versus Graves as a match on here.
Well, one of them's retired now, so... That one's not happening.
So, you'll never be right.
I'll never be right on that one.
And finally, you did have Brock as champion.
Against?
Do you want to know who he was against?
Who?
He was going to be in a triple threat match.
Crap.
Which, he was in a triple threat match.
He was.
I mean, he was technically triple threaded. Against Cesaro.
Crap.
And Bray Wyatt.
Crap.
So...
That would have been a great match, though.
Would have been a great match. But
I even have Shield or Roman.
You have none of the Shield on here. All of the Shield is...
Which shows you that I put these together last minute before... Because we set ourselves a deadline.
Yeah.
That we have to come up with these before Raw. The Raw after WrestleMania.
It used to be a little bit... It got a lot more rigid once they started... announcing WrestleMania matches.
You mean that one time that they did it?
That one time.
Okay.
But here's the thing, is because I had done it, like, during Raw. I was doing it that year. And I was like, if I had just waited, like,
right.
30 minutes, I would have gotten one right. But
right.
It would have been a Hall of Victory. So, but you don't have the Shield on here as a unit.
Really?
You don't have them broken up in any of them on here.
Because, so. I don't know, for some reason in my head, I thought I said something about, like, a triple threat match between the three of them.
I got nothing on you like that, so you're welcome to go back last year and listen, but...
Well, I mean, I believe you.
So, do you want to do your picks?
Yes, once my phone loads it up, because I had it there. Okay, here we go. All right, I have Triple H versus Rock.
Triple H versus Rock.
I feel like that would be, if anything was a safe-ish bet, that would be one. Here's one
I didn't predict that.
Well, I feel like Triple H and Rock is going to be involved with each other in some fashion. Might be at SummerSlam, you know, they might just wait till next year's WrestleMania, I don't know. Here's where I get, you know, I started throwing my hat over the wall a little bit. A career match of Taker versus Brock.
Okay.
That way Brock can take something else
okay.
from Taker. Or, you know, Taker comes back, he does the whole, like, I've got something to prove, blah, 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 blah. Right. There's a built-in story there.
Okay.
Shield triple threat for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, what do you say like that?
No, just keep going. I mean,
okay. I mean, you've seen my list. I've sent it to you.
I didn't pay attention. Okay, fair enough. I hadn't made my list at the time of yours. I didn't want your picks to influence mine.
Okay, so I'm seeing a trend with Cena in the past two WrestleManias. He's had this thing where, hey, these somewhat recent NXT call-ups, monster guys, have been fed to Cena the past two WrestleManias. So I'm going to go Cena versus Kevin Owens.
Okay, that's interesting.
Just to follow that trend.
Right.
Okay. Intercontinental Championship between Daniel Bryan and Ziggler, because I'm hoping it happens one of these days.
Yeah. I almost put that on here. I have scratch that out.
I got a Divas Championship between Charlotte and Paige.
Okay.
This is the one I had to fix. I accidentally put Triple H in two matches. For Kicks and Giggles, I put Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor.
Okay.
Bray's got to go on there somewhere. Pre-show gets the armbar. I guess extra points if that actually happens. Hey!
Yeah, if you remember.
I won't. And I got Bray. All right, now I got Ryback winning that.
Okay.
And of course, four-way tag in the pre-show. I got Lucha Dragons, Usos, Matadors, and Vaudevillains.
Okay. All right. So you think all those tag teams will be successful?
Throw enough at the wall, and you're about to hit something.
All right, that's
hopefully none of them end up retired by this time.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because I like both of those guys.
All right, I got Taker versus Sting. I'm doubling down.
Okay.
They both said they would like to face each other.
And apparently they actually shared a locker room at WrestleMania, just the two of them. So they had to come up at some point.
Yeah. Like, we're gonna do it. All
right,
that's good.
Right?
Well, so here's the thing.
I mean, Taker did that at a UFC event. Come on.
Exactly. That's how happened. We got it. Well, I talked about it leading up to the WrestleMania 30. Mm-hmm. I was like, you have kind of four matches. You have Cena versus The Streak, Sting versus The Streak.
Mm-hmm.
You can always pull back Kane versus The Streak and Brock versus The Streak. And Rock versus The Streak. Those are the four after he beats Brock this year. Which is on, but so once that's gone, Cena goes out the window.
Right.
Rock kind of goes out the window as something to do with it. And so what you're kind of left with is Sting or Kane, because you can always go back to the well of Brothers of Destruction.
Right.
So I'm doubling down, Sting and Taker.
If there was ever a year to do it, it would be now.
Yeah. I doubled down on Brock and Rock.
Okay.
I was like,
solid choice.
It's gonna happen, Brock and Rock. Now, here's the thing. We don't ever put like a match limit on here.
Okay.
When we're doing these, we don't have to be like, all right, you get to pick seven matches.
Right.
We don't say you have to pick this number of matches. We don't say you have to have, you can put.
Right. As my own typical rule of thumbs, I try to limit myself under 10.
Right. Under 10 matches, you start getting ridiculous.
Right.
I do try. We haven't expressed this rule, but like, You kind of need to only give anybody one match. Somebody can have two matches at WrestleMania, but you kind of only need to. You can't just, Daniel Bryan versus this guy, Daniel Bryan versus this guy. Like, I'm going to get it right somehow here. So you kind of keep everybody in their own matches. But there's not a number limit.
Okay.
So I'm going to do Stone Cold versus CM Punk.
Okay.
Because neither one of those guys is going to face anybody else.
You're right.
they're not going to face anybody. We got a year to make up. Everybody's got a year to make up.
Man, if both guys come back and they both face different people, you're going to be pissed.
So upset. I'm going to be so upset. Well, like, I'm banking on, like, you know, they're talking about wanting to break that attendance record.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of leaned into that. I'm like, all right, so you got Brock and Rock as your top marquee. Right. If Stone Cold ever came back for one more match, it would be to come break this attendance record. Right. That's when they'd really start.
And it's in Texas, absolutely.
Yeah, it's when they really start laying down that money trail for him. And he said he's only going to come back for CM Punk. That's all he's really interested in facing.
That might have changed by now.
That can definitely change.
Because that was like 5 years ago.
Like, that's the thing. So, like, I definitely knew I was going to put a Stone Cold on here.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the attendance record and because of Texas. And so I played around with, like, who would Stone Cold realistically fight.
Right.
And so there's a lot of options. But ultimately, I was like, you know what? I've put it on so many times. I'm just, let's go for it. I've been wrong on that one before, and my life has gone on. If I'm right, I'll be Wizard.
Right.
I did do Paige versus Charlotte.
Okay.
I actually had Paige versus Naomi, like, right up until Raw, and then I was like, oh, people will be called up. Let me just scratch that out.
Right. And, you know.
So if it's Paige versus Naomi, I'm going to be upset because I will look at it scratched out on my piece of paper. So I actually also have Roman, Dean, and Seth in a triple threat.
For
the championship.
So we got, for the World Heavyweight Championship, we got the smash.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a happy classic attire.
I know. That's all I was like, I don't know. But
A, because that would be a great championship match. It would
be a great championship match.
And B, we're Wizards.
It'll be really exciting to be right. It'll be a little hollow of victory because I'll have to share it.
Ah, come on.
I don't know.
Why can't we just be happy as friends?
I don't know. If I could tell you why I would feel that way inside, I can't tell you why, I'm just telling you I would. I think it's because it was my game originally, and if you beat me in this game...
But I wouldn't be beating you. It would be a tie.
Yeah, but you read them first. Nobody will believe me.
No one's going to remember, Joel. I don't even remember what my picks were last year.
I'll just edit out you saying that you ever picked that.
A year after the fact. So everyone has already listened to it. No one's going to go back and listen to it. I don't want to say no one because you can find all of our past podcasts on iTunes.
Well, you can find the past at like 11 or so.
Okay, you can find all our past on the Blogspot.
There you go.
Whatever that URL is.
I have mixed tag match with Dolph and Triple H versus Dolph. And Ronda versus Triple H and Seth.
You do know they're both guys, right?
Ronda Rousey and Dolph Ziggler versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Okay.
Just
substitute Rock for Ziggler.
I put Rock and Rock
right.
And Brock.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I am adhering to that rule. You can't.
All
right. You do. And that's kind of like I don't know if that'll actually last all the way till. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania.
Yeah, I tend to believe that that's probably going to get some sort of resolution at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Or Survivor Series at the latest. But, you know, whatever. I still put Rock versus Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing where I'm like, I didn't realize I'd put Dolph and Triple H in a match again after I did it last year.
Right.
So, we'll see. I have Kevin Owens winning the armbar.
Okay.
So,
feasible.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if they were gonna like lean into the giant aspect a little more because I mean it's the armbar is kind of like one of those nice battle royal things where like the winner doesn't actually get anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they get a pretty sweet trophy.
They get a trophy, but they don't get like a championship.
A giant trophy that's hard to carry around.
And they don't even get like a guaranteed future match to anything. And so, like, it's kind of this...
It almost feels like a kind of a one-off.
Well, like, the thing is, like, it's this sad everybody-knows-it-secret that, like, big guys never win these battle royals, and the announcers have to act every time, like, oh, what's going to happen? I don't know. Shocking. That big guy is definitely going to win, because how will you ever throw a Big Show out of the ring?
And every time one of them picks them as their favorite, like, literally, like... Within the next minute or so, that person gets eliminated.
Yeah.
Every time.
So, I mean, the way that Big Show could go ahead and win last time and, you know, kind of get nothing out of it, mm-hmm. Kevin Owens can go ahead and win, and they'll be able to stamp that, like, winner of the armbar thing.
Yeah.
When they're talking about how dominant and powerful he is. without actually having to really give him anything.
Right.
So I kind of think that's who that trophy is going to start going to.
It's like a half-committal push.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or a non-committal push in the case of Cesaro. I just want to say, like, every time you read your list, you're holding it away from me as if it's some big secret.
Do you want to look at it?
No, but it's just weird how you keep doing that.
I'm facing you, talking to you, and I need to see this side of the list.
You never face and talk to me when we're doing this.
Fine, you ready? All right.
Well, now you're facing away from the microphone.
I got Cena facing Sami Zayn.
All right.
Honestly, the proper way to do this, I feel, is have Cena open challenge up till about SummerSlam,
mm-hmm.
and then have Sami Zayn debut.
Okay.
Because I could definitely see Sami Zayn being the one to debut and beat him for the title.
Right.
I mean, what I would do is I would have him kind of do it. He's doing what he's got. Somebody from the back's going to come in and challenge. You have Rusev at Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
But at the next pay-per-view, I'd have a surprise return. I'd have, like, one of the Dudley Boys, since, you know.
Right.
They came back for the Rumble. You know, somebody who could go in a 10-minute match still. But,
fair enough, okay.
But, you know, but somebody kind of surprising, kind of get this, like, oh, I want to make sure I get this pay-per-view to see who's going to be the surprise return
right.
for that. Or you have a call-up during those things. And then, because I need a match for Cena and I didn't know what else to do, I was like,
right.
and he holds it all year long, and then Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. I would rather them do that at SummerSlam and make more sense at SummerSlam. But then I don't have anything for Cena, so
right.
let's just, for the sake of the game, extend that. And Cena versus Sami Zayn.
Honestly, that's why I went with, like, you know, I'm seeing a trend with Cena these days, and it's usually, like, big monster guys that's getting called up from NXT.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going along with that.
I put Bryan versus...
I hope it's not Bull Dempsey.
It might be.
Oh, God.
I put Bryan versus Sheamus because... They got to be on the card, and...
They can't get away from each other.
There have been multiple WrestleManias in the past where I could have predicted this and got it right.
And
so,
you probably didn't.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
But Law of Averages says that it's a safe bet.
You say so.
I put Neville versus Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
He's going to have one more match. He's gone off about enough. He's going to have... One more match.
You feel like if that was the case, they would have done that already?
No. Because it's the one where they got to sell out.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
It's the one where they got to break the record. If Hogan's going to have one more match, which I feel like he's going to have one more
match. Okay, but why Neville?
Because if they are interested in Neville, if they are high on Neville actually being a guy, especially being a flippy guy, which he is, you want to put him in a match... with Hogan because the people who are going to tune in because they want to see Hogan's match,
mm-hmm.
you want them to see somebody new. You want them to see somebody...
impressive.
Yeah, and...
But it really is just going to... It's going to look like one guy's flipping around with Hulk Hogan just standing there and Hulk Hogan winning.
I maybe. Depending on how they handle Neville from here till then. I mean, Hogan... You know, Hogan... Lost to Rock.
True. Fair enough.
I mean, I think it's very likely that Hogan will have a match at WrestleMania. I don't think that's a huge jump of guessing.
Right.
The guessing comes into who he's gonna face.
Right.
I think it's very possible that Hogan would lose the match. I mean, you're supposed to lose your last match.
Supposed to, yeah.
But the rules are...
All right.
And, like, so, I mean, and also, I would hope that Neville's going to be on the card.
Honestly, like, guys like that, I'm just assuming he'd probably end up on the armbar.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I'm hoping he'll be elevated enough. Mm-hmm. And then I have Uppercats versus New Day for the tag team titles.
Okay.
But here's my hat throw. Here's my hat throw, and if this comes true, I will beat you for the wizard status.
The wizardry?
Yeah.
All right.
I am predicting that at some point between here and then, New Day will change their tag team name to Doomsday.
Okay.
So it will be Uppercats versus Doomsday, which is what I have written down. So if that happens...
If they change their name to Doomsday.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I can agree with that.
So I got a year for it to happen.
Okay.
So, and every week they don't do it, it's going to kill me on the inside.
What if they change their name to Doomsday, but then break up before WrestleMania? Does it count?
I feel like it does.
Alright.
I feel like it does.
Alright, if our listeners want to weigh in on this, just send us a tweet or something.
Because
I don't know. Because I feel like this is all centered around WrestleMania. So I feel like there has to still be a thing at WrestleMania for it to count. It'll be impressive.
Here's the thing.
They change their name to that regardless. It'll be impressive.
It'll be impressive. I feel like that'll be wizard status. I won't obviously get the point.
Right.
But, and so we'll continue a perfect 0-0 scorecard on WrestleMania predictions.
Okay.
But I feel like if they change... I mean, like, that's a very specific prediction. So I'm not just predicting a name change. I'm predicting what the name is going to be changed to.
Fair enough.
So... But those are my WrestleMania 31 predictions. I'm putting them in this drawer, assuming we're gonna
have that drawer this time next year.
Yep.
And we can find it.
Yep. Because I'm gonna probably put other stuff in that drawer.
Oh yeah, I know you, and I know you will.
So, but just remind me. I'm like, where are they?
Yes, this drawer that no one can see. So. This visual element that we're talking about on this podcast.
It's definitely a drawer here.
It absolutely is. I can attest to it.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Not specifically, no.
All right. You want to do what's making you happy?
Yeah. Wrestling-wise, what's making me happy is obviously Seth Rollins' Lazy Boy. for obvious reasons.
All right.
And non-wrestling-related, I had, as I talked about last week, I had my getaway weekend. It was fun. It was relaxing. I didn't get as much writing work as I wanted to, but it was one of those things where it was like I got there and I just didn't realize how worn out and tired I was.
Yeah.
Until like I finally like slowed down. And it was good. It was really good. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I feel fully recharged.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. What's making me happy? Let's see. Wrestling wise, the network had like a big old dump of like 1998.
Yeah.
Raws.
Attitude. They're doing the whole like the first year of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Is now all on. And I still like and I just like because they still don't have any Raws from like 2011, which I found is weird.
Yeah.
They just completely skipped that year. And I get it. Like the first half of the year is not great, but that also like has stuff with Rock in it too.
Yeah, so that's a good point, actually.
I mean, I understand, like, if they'd want to keep the whole, like, CM Punk thing hush-hush, because that's when it started, it really started for him, was 2011.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Okay, so is the Pipe Bomb promo not on...
No.
Really?
Like that episode of Raw is...
Okay, I was going to say, because I know that is, because I can go and find that CM Punk documentary.
Well, yeah, it's on the documentary,
and
yeah.
It's in that in full.
But
that
episode of Raw is not on there.
That's interesting. It's been kind of interesting to watch... Not even so much watch Raw from 1998, but watch people react to it.
Yeah.
And because you'll get two very... You'll get, like, definitely better. Everything I ever believed is being confirmed in front of my eyes.
Right.
The Attitude Era was brilliant, and what we have now is terrible. And then you have this completely opposite. Be like, oh, I saw that through rose-tinted glasses. Attitude Era is just as bad and quite possibly worse than what we got right now.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing that a lot of people tend to glaze over. It's like, there was a lot of crap in the Attitude Era. Like, there was a lot of great stuff, but there was a lot of crap as well.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's just... There's a lot of that kind of thing, and I don't know. It's facilitated a lot of good wrestling discussion for me to read, even if I'm not taking active part in it. And I've enjoyed that. I've been enjoying kind of like watching people
kind of re-react.
Yeah. React to something that's, you know, 15 years old now that, you know, with all these years of wrestling to compare it to.
Yeah. I agree. So, yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Any non-wrestling related?
Yeah, I'm good.
You sure?
What?
You do realize what this weekend is, right?
Saturday?
Your bachelor party?
No, I knew that. I just didn't invite any of these people.
Well, yeah, but I'm like, wouldn't that be exciting to you?
Yeah, we're gonna go see Fast and Furious 7.
Yeah, we are. And we're gonna jump on trampolines.
Starring The Rock, so it's technically wrestling related.
Still, trampolines. That's Lucha Dragons.
Fair enough. All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Sure do. And if you have any questions, comments, if you want to send us your own way too early WrestleMania 32 picks, send those over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Still the easiest way to kind of just keep track of the podcast. You look us up there, Class Ring Attire, and you can subscribe. You can get all the episodes. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
I don't think anybody saw that.
Better.
Audio podcast. Calm down. Or write a review. Writing reviews just really helps out the podcast. So if you take the time to do that, we'd greatly appreciate it.
I basically punched myself in the chest. If you're listening to us on insightpulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Finally, don't forget, we're on Facebook. If you haven't liked us there yet, go like us on Facebook. Easy way to keep up with the podcast, keep up with general wrestling stuff, keep up with Chris and myself.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.